All right. Welcome, everybody. Thank you, those who joined on. I know a lot of you will be listening to the recording later. This is Susie Bill speaking. I'm just going to introduce myself briefly, and then we'll get into today's discussion, which is on how to have a good relationship with your author, with your editor, how to make that, just maximize the relationship so it's beneficial for both of you. So just an introduction to me. I currently am the president of LDS-PMA. I also am a faculty member at BYU teaching editing classes in the linguistics department. Most of my background has been in editing. I've worked up with a lot of editors and the different places I've worked in-house. I've also freelanced full-time for a while and still do some freelancing on the side. So I've worked with a lot of individual authors and companies, a good variety. I've also done writing myself. I've written video scripts. I've done articles, blog posts. My first book is coming out in May. So I have the perspective of the editor side as well as the author side. And so I'll be addressing both of those, and I speak from experience because I've felt both sides of that. So that's just a little bit back of my background, and let's just get into the discussion. And so I want to start out with Mark Twain in an article he wrote called How to Make History Dates Stick, and he kind of pokes fun at editors, and he has a couple quotations that I just laugh at. And so the first one is, he has this image, a drawing of an editor. And it says, "This editor is a critic. He has pulled out his carving knife and his tomahawk and is starting after a book which he's going to have for breakfast." Okay, so definitely not painting the picture, the friendly editor. And then this other one, there's this another image of an editor who looks, I would say, more like a monster than a person. And this quotation from Twain says, "Another editor, that thing behind his ear is his pencil. Whenever he finds a bright thing in your manuscript, he strikes it out with that. That does him good. It makes him smile and show his teeth the way he is doing in the picture. This one has just been striking out a smart thing, and now he's sitting there with his thumbs in his vest holes gloating. They are full of envy and malice, editors are." Okay, so, I mean, if you're familiar with Mark Twain, you know that he's often poking fun at things, so I don't necessarily think that this is really his opinion about editors, but it does portray how some authors feel about editors. That there's that feeling that editors are just out there to get authors and to ruin their masterpieces. And I've felt it sometimes when I've written things and then somebody comes in after me and changes a lot. And I feel like, why'd you do that? It was perfect how it was. And so there's that perception. Sometimes it can feel real. And it goes the other way as well. Sometimes editors can be really frustrated with their authors. I've been in many editing groups, conversations online where editors have talked about authors from Hades that are making their lives miserable. And so it can go both ways, that it's just a bad experience, but it doesn't have to be that way. And so that's what we're going to talk about. How you can develop a rewarding relationship and even a friendship with your author or with your editor. Over the years, I have developed some fabulous relationships with the people I've worked with, and it becomes more than just a professional relationship. I become friends with them, and so you know, we go out and we do things together, and when they're in town, we go meet, and it's become a real friendship, and it really can become that way and become a rewarding experience for both of you. So let's talk about some of these strategies, how to make that happen. Let's first focus on authors. What can you as an author do to make your editor love you, to work towards establishing that good relationship? Okay, so some of these tips are going to be pretty straightforward. You might feel like, well, yes, of course, that totally makes sense. But we need to think about it and make sure that we're doing it. Kind of like in family relationships where we know the things that we should do to make our family members happy and to get along with them well. But sometimes we're not necessarily that good about actually doing those things. So just keep them in mind. And some I'll go into more detail on. First, make sure that you have gone through and self-edited your manuscript before you send it to the editor. It seems very, statement, but I have worked with a lot of authors who really haven't done that. And it can be frustrating for the editor, but also it prevents the editor from doing as much good for your manuscript as they could have done otherwise. So the more that you go through the manuscript first and make sure that, oh, this sentence isn't clear, I should revise that. Or, okay, that doesn't really make sense. Or so anything that you can do to make the manuscript better before sending to the editor, that's going to allow them to make it even better still. Whereas if they're having to focus on just lots of typos that you didn't catch because you didn't go through it, then they're not going to be able to really refine things as much as could be otherwise. So go through it a couple times before sending it to your editor, and that will really give you the best results. And it's a win-win for you because your writing is going to be even better. Okay, with that, so self-edit, but don't worry about formatting. You don't need to get really crazy creative with words formatting tools. That actually can make it harder for the editor. When they have to, for example, if you indented each paragraph by typing 5 spaces at the beginning of that paragraph, that actually adds more work for the editor. So don't even worry about adding the spaces to make an indent. The editor can do the formatting pretty quickly. So don't worry about that. Don't worry about doing really italics or bold. The editor will know what words should be italics, which ones shouldn't be. Also, you only need one harder term between paragraphs, so you don't need a blank paragraphs or blank line between different paragraphs. And please don't do a paragraph mark, like a hard return or hitting enter after each line of text. I've seen authors do that, and sometimes they can't figure out how to make the formatting look exactly like they want it, so they will do a hard return at the end of every line. And that's just, it creates more work for the editor. So really don't worry about the formatting. They'll take care of it. Next thing is really try to submit the manuscript on time. So you've already talked and you've agreed, okay, this is when I'm going to send you the file, and do that on time. The editor is often working, managing multiple projects at the same time. And so they penciled you in for this one date, and then they're going to work on your manuscript for however long after that. But if you don't get that manuscript to them for a week later than you specified, then they have to even juggle their schedules even more. And that can mean that they're rushing to get yours done, and so maybe they don't have as much time and they can't put as much effort into it, or it makes it more stressful. So try to get it to them on time. Also, it helps to give them just a heads up, and you've maybe talked with them a month before saying, okay, this is the date I'm going to get it to you. 2 weeks before that or a week before that, just say, hey, I'm still on target to send this manuscript to you next week. Just let them know that you are still on time. And if it looks like you are going to be late, notify them as soon as possible. It's a lot easier if I, as the editor, know 2 weeks beforehand that you're going to be a week late, so I can kind of juggle my schedule and rearrange things, excuse me, so that I can still accommodate you. The more time, the more notice I have with that, the better it is for both of us. That's a big one. Just really try to keep to your schedule, and if not, communicate as soon as possible. The next thing, if you're the one doing the paying, so if you're paying a freelance editor, pay on time. Be respectful about that. Also, say thank you. Sometimes editing can be a little bit of a thankless job because your name is not on the book. It's often not in the acknowledgments. You feel like you've done a lot to help. And so just a simple thank you, I really appreciate your editing, that really can make an editor's day. I've had times where I went above and beyond what I had agreed to in the contract. And so I gave a lot, and then the author was kind of rude. And so it was kind of salt in the wound. So, you know, just that common attitude, decency, that way. Also, another way that you can say thank you is if you really enjoyed working with the editor, refer other people to that editor, especially if they're a freelance editor. So tell your author friends, your family members, anybody who mentions that they need an editor, refer that person to the editor. Especially with freelance author, freelance editors, they get a lot of their work through referrals. And so they really do appreciate when you share their information with other people. I've had a good number of authors email me and say, Susie, I hope you're not upset with me, but I gave your information to another author. And I just laugh when that happens because, no, I'm not upset at all. But they think that I might be upset that I gave my that they gave my information. And so they don't necessarily even, it's not always on the top of mind to, oh, I should tell everybody else about Susie or whoever. So just keep that in mind. How can you let other people know about the editor? Another one, and this is overall, in general, make sure you're communicating, and that's both sides. The author needs to communicate, the editor needs to communicate. I suggest doing a lot of your communication via email. Sometimes it is appropriate to get on a phone call or to meet in person with your editor, especially if there are some issues, big issues, or maybe you as the author feel one way and the editor feels strongly about another way about it. It can help to get on a phone call and discuss in person. But in general, communicating via email is helpful because, one, then you have a document in a specifically what you agreed on. So you archive that email, and then both of you can go back and say, okay, yeah, this is what we decided on. This is what we agreed, or whatever. That's really helpful. I've found that that happens a lot. It's helpful to be able to go back to those emails. Also, it just gives your editor time to respond to you when they have the time. And so, yes, they should be, as an editor, the editor should be responding promptly, I would say within 24 or maybe 48 hours. But within that time, let them respond when they want to respond or when they have the time to respond. So some people like to work throughout the day and then respond to emails at night. Or maybe they respond to emails first thing in the morning. Their schedules are varied. Maybe some days of the week they're working on a different project. And so it's helpful for them to be able to respond when it's time for them to respond. And if you're trying to call them, sometimes that breaks up their work. And so they've been working on a project and then the call is somewhat of an interruption. And so after that call, it can be hard to get back into the editing and focusing again. And so it can be beneficial again for your manuscript to not interrupt the editor as they're going through. And so, like I said, sometimes it's great to get on a call, but often can be even helpful of saying, emailing and saying, hey, can we discuss on the phone, and then schedule a time for that. The next thing is to, after you've reviewed maybe all or some of what the editor has done, their edits, especially if you're working maybe a couple chapters at a time, and so you don't get the whole manuscript back at once, or maybe you're working on multiple projects with the same editor, let them know what you like that they're doing. What are the things that you're doing that are really helpful? And that will help them to know what they should be doing more of. Also, it's totally okay if there's something that you don't like that they're doing, let them know that as well, because that way they'll know what not to do. Or maybe you can talk about it and come to an agreement on what works for both of you. you want to do that as soon as possible, just so that they can know how to be of most help to you. And if there's something that you don't find helpful, let them know. And that's not a thing that actually makes their lives easier, because they can provide more targeted service to you. Also, it's important just to keep in mind that the editor is a professional. Either they're working for a publisher and the publisher vetted them before they hired that editor, or if you're working with a freelance editor, hopefully you have vetted them, gotten referrals from other people, maybe gotten a sample edit from them, and so you've looked at their background, the years of experience maybe, or their education involving editing. And so you know that they are professional, and their intent really is to make your writing shine. It's not, as Mark Twain said, to just rip it to pieces and find, oh, this sounds really nice, so I'm going to take it out. That's really not what editors are doing. The editors that I've met, just hundreds of editors, they become editors because they really want to help writing be the best it can be. And that's why they're doing this job. And so they really are on your side. Any questions so far or comments related to any points I brought up?
None so far.
Okay. All right. So let's go on to some more tips for authors, and then we'll get to the editors. And so now we're going to kind of focus in on the edits themselves. Okay, so the editor has sent back the manuscript file, and you're starting to look through it. The first thing is to be open to the edits. You've asked the editor to do their editing. You want them to improve your manuscript, and now be open to the changes, suggestions they make. And also, be aware, just expect to see more changes than you thought your manuscript needed. I think that just is a principle that it kind of applies every situation. In my own writing myself, feeling like, well, I'm an editor, I know how to self-edit, I've gone through this manuscript several times, it's in really good condition. And then it still comes back with ways that it can be improved. And so that's always the case, one, because we're so tied to the writing ourselves, it's hard for us to get outside of our own heads and see how other people will perceive the writing. And so we won't see ways that, oh, this really isn't clear, or it can mean this thing as well. And so there are always going to be suggestions from the editor, and just be kind of brace yourself before you even open that file. Know that you're going to see a lot of edits, and that's okay. And having a lot of edits does not mean that your writing is not good. And it doesn't mean that your editor doesn't like you, or that your editor doesn't like your manuscript. In my experience editing, I've thoroughly enjoyed some manuscripts that I ended up doing a lot of editing in. And that does not mean at all that I didn't like it. There have been some novels where I found were just very interesting and I couldn't wait to get to the next chapter, but there are still a lot of edits that they made. And so just remember that as the author that it's okay that there are going to be edits there. And it's just look at it as an opportunity. Here is a chance that I really get to refine my manuscript. Okay, so you're looking through the edits and you say, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think that change is needed. So before you just have that gut reaction of to say, reject, reject that track change. Nope, I'm not going to do that. Just consider it. Say, okay, why did the editor suggest this change? Could it be misread the original version, or was it a little clunky? Was it, it just didn't flow very well? Why did the editor change this? And so maybe you'll say, okay, yeah, I understand that they thought it could be interpreted a couple ways. And so maybe you don't like the way that the editor revised it. Maybe you can find a different way to revise it that you like better. And so that's okay. You don't have to accept your editor's changes just right off the bat exactly how they suggest them. But consider, what could I do to this sentence to make it better? And so that's kind of the key. The author, the editor is helping the author see that maybe this sentence couldn't be improved. And so here's one way it could be improved. Something that I do when I'm editing, I often will provide a suggestion of, you could revise the sentence this way to address this problem. And so it's just my quick suggestion of, here's one way that would fix the problem, but I'm sure probably you as the author have an even better way to do that. So I'm just giving it a suggestion out there to kind of get your juices flowing. So you've considered the edits, and maybe you still feel like, no, I don't like what they did. I don't think that's right. I like the original better. And that's happened sometimes too. I've had that happen in my writing where I really thought about it and considered, okay, they changed it for this reason. And okay, what if we did that? And what are the kind of the positives versus negatives of each, the original and their revision? And sometimes I've decided, no, I really think that the original, what I had, is better. And so I've written a comment to them saying, I'd like to keep the original because of this reason. And so explain that to them. And maybe they'll come back and say, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Or, well, how about, what if we did this? And so it might be a back and forth conversation a little bit. And that's okay, because the collaboration really does lead to something even better. So sometimes you'll still feel like, we need to leave the original. And so that's okay. Stay true to yourself. Don't just say, okay, well, fine, we'll do it your way because you must be better. Stay true to yourself. And if it's a significant change and you don't think it's needed, then that's okay. Let them know. And it is your choice as the author. Sometimes the publisher will step in and say, no, you have to change this before we can move on with the editing or with the publishing. But typically, if you have a good reason and you feel strongly about it, then that's enough to keep it as is. One thing with that is sometimes an editor might say, I think we should delete this whole paragraph or maybe even this whole section, because, for example, in a novel, maybe like this scene doesn't really add to the plot here. It's actually kind of slowing it down. And so I would suggest, let's just delete it. And that can be a hard thing, especially because you spent all this time working on it and then they just want to get rid of it. And you feel like, oh, those hours are going to waste. I've definitely felt that way before. And so you have a couple options. Again, go back and consider it. Okay, does this scene really contribute, or is it kind of just in the way? And there have been times when I've decided, okay, yeah, it is just in the way. And that can be painful, but something you can do is, and I've seen some other authors do this, they have a file of, they call it different names, but like a deleted content file or whole folder. And so they just put those scraps of maybe paragraphs or sentences or sections that were deleted from their manuscripts, and they store those, file them away, and then maybe in your next novel or in your next academic article or whatever you're writing, maybe you can incorporate that content there. So don't just delete it and let it go away forever. If you really, really like it and you think it's valuable, hold on to it and see if you can incorporate it some other time. Another thing to think about is, so you've reviewed all the editor's comments, you've revised according to what they've suggested. And so one thing, typically you want to stay with just the edits that they suggested. Sometimes you might, as you're revising, you'll get the idea of, oh, I think it would be great if I revise this as well. Maybe I need to add a new paragraph here or a new section, or you need to do some bigger revising. Before you do that, just talk with your editor. Get their feedback on it and see what they say, whether they think it's needed. Just give them a heads up. So from the editor's perspective, they're kind of considering that your manuscript you sent to them originally is in pretty final form, so you're not going to be adding a lot of new content. So sometimes if you want to add a lot of new content that wasn't requested by the editor, that can be a little overwhelming to editors, and they now have to add more time into their schedule and fit in that new content to edit that and the back and forth there. So, I mean, it's something you can do, but just talk it through with the editor and see if they really think that's valuable. And also see if it is feasible within the time you have left. So if your book is in copy editing phase and it has to go to typesetting and then to the printer in like a week and a half, maybe there really just isn't time to add the new content in there. It kind of depends on how important it is, how much space it's taking up. And so there are a lot of factors that go into play. So just make sure that it is doable. In my book that is coming out in a couple months, I had talked with the editor about adding just a little bit of information, and then there's a flurry of activity and things happened, and I didn't get that information in the book. And so it got to the typesetting, and I was reviewing the final proofs, and I realized we never put that information in there. And it got down to where it was the day before it was supposed to be sent to the printer. And I thought, oh, this is kind of bad. And I, you know, having gone through the publishing process before, especially on the editorial side, I thought, I don't, you know, is this one of the times where I just need to let it go? Or do I need to say, hey, what can we do? And so I looked and I thought, okay, do we have any space somewhere to put this content? And I did find a space that I thought it would go okay there. And I talked with the editor. I said, I would really like to add this, and here there's space on this final page, and can we still do this? And the wonderful editor said, yep, we can do that. And it was a lot because I had found a blank place for it. So talk with your editor. They want to accommodate you within what they have available. All right, so, excuse me. That's on the author side, things that authors can do. And just kind of keeping in mind that whether you're an author, whether you're an editor, the things that you do will return make the experience better for you. And so it might feel like, well, why do I have to be doing these things to make the other side happier? Well, it's going to make you happier too. And so it really is worth it. All right, let me just take a drink of water. Excuse me. Now for what can the editors do? So starting even before you get the manuscript, just make sure that you and the author are on the same page. Make sure the author knows what to expect. So when do they need to get the manuscript to you? When will you return the edited file back to them? What types of edits are you going to be doing? Are you just looking at grammar and punctuation, or are you also looking at organization? Are you looking at logic, cohesion, coherence, flow? Make sure you're on the same page, okay? That's very important. If the author sees that you've made a lot of edits that they weren't expecting, that can be very shocking and disappointing and not make them happy. So make sure that's very clear, especially if they're a first-time author. They really don't know what they're doing. Like, they've never gone through this process before, and so it can be scary for them. So just walking them through, saying, okay, here's the first step. Then once we do this, I'll do this, and I'll edit using track changes. I'll send the file back to you. You'll be able to see all the changes that I made. So it's reassuring to the author, just so that there isn't that fear of the unknown. I would say regularly ask, or regularly say, let me know if you have any questions. I'm happy to answer any of your questions, just to reassure them that you are always there to help them, to walk them through the process. Also, always be a cheerleader of the book and the author's progress on it. I have received feedback from various authors who have said, and the first time I heard this, I wasn't quite sure how I felt about it. But one author said, Susie, I really appreciate your help with this. Even more than your editing skills, I appreciate that you cheered me through the process, that you were always there to support me and to help me through and feel like I could get through this process. And so, you know, a little part of me was like, oh, well, but my editing skills are important too. But it really was, it was a good eye opener to me of, they need you to support them, just to help them feel like they can succeed at this, because especially if you've written a book length manuscript, it's a lot of pain and work and a lot of frustration. You go through times of, is this worth anything? Is anybody going to want to read it? And so they need that support from you when they feel like, okay, maybe I just spent, wasted a whole year writing this that's not worth anything. So be their cheerleader. Let them know that you are on their side. You are always going to be there through the ups and through the downs to help them through. Put yourself in the author's shoes. Remember, try to remember or think about what it feels like for them. Along the same lines, always be polite and appreciative. And I think this really goes into the idea of being the cheerleader. When an author sends me a file, I will say, thank you for sending the file to me. I can't wait to get started. So, you know, thanking them, but also letting them know that you're excited to get going, that you look forward to working with them. That goes a long way. And just, it's, you know, you like to be friends with people who are kind and thank you. And it's the same idea with working with authors. Really show your appreciation and that you look forward to this. Now let's get into the edits themselves. Typically, try to, in track changes, make the edits look as minimal as possible. And so one thing. Typically, you're not going to track all of your formatting changes. So you're not going to delete, if there are two spaces between a sentence, don't show and track changes that you deleted one of those. Do those silently so the author doesn't have to worry about it. And you can just put in a note that I deleted the two spaces between sentences. I changed smart quotes to curly quotes, all those little things. Also, if you have to change just one letter in a word, don't strike out that whole word. Just change the one letter. So it doesn't look like you deleted their word and added a new word. They can more easily see that, oh, it was only one letter. So that's some way, and it helps the author feel less overwhelmed with all the changes that you've made. So see how just in track changes, you can make it look a little bit less extensive. Another thing, I have found that comments are really important in setting the tone and how you convey your attitude toward the author and just your opinion of the writing. So try to be kind. And I start all my comments with, please do this, rather than change this. I say, please, or consider doing this. And so I'm not being demanding. Many years ago, I had edited this manuscript, and then I was just going through comment by comment, and I realized, wow, I sound really demanding. Like, do this, you need to do this, you need to fix this. And I just felt like if I were the author, I wouldn't have been very encouraged by those comments. And so from that time, that's when I started always saying, will you please do this? Or maybe try this. So just so you don't sound demanding and you sound kinder. I have found that really brief comments can also sound less kind. So sometimes instead of just, and maybe this isn't the best example, but just, how about instead of saying change and have that as the only thing in your comment, say, will you please change this to XYZ? And so just the short comments can come across as a little abrupt and not nice. And especially if it's comment after comment after comment, then that really can set a tone of, it's sounding like you're not enjoying the editing. There is, as you work with an author more and you guys get used to each other's styles, then it's okay to become a little bit more brief because you've already established that you are their supporter, their cheerleader, and so that they know, they know that you're on their side. And so things can get briefer, but especially at first when you're working with an author, make sure that your tone conveys that you are happy to be working with them. Other things, so making comments don't need to be just of things that they need to change. Maybe you saw a sentence or a paragraph or something that you really liked. Make a comment about that and say, oh, wow, I really like how the sentence sounds, or this is a great idea, or I had never thought about that. Thank you for the insight. So have positive comments like that. It goes back to the idea of authors need a lot of encouragement. I have worked with a lot of authors who I felt like I've given them some good encouragement, and then they will still come back when I return a file, and they'll say, so, do you really like this? Are you sure it's worth it? And and I'll think, well, I already told you in my previous email, I told you in the file that I thought was really interesting, but they still need just a lot of encouragement. So I would say it's really hard to give too much encouragement. So try to be as supportive as possible. Also, some things kind of along that line, of even sometimes maybe you read a book or you find something online that you think that your author will like, send them an email with a link to it or with information on that, just to let them know that, hey, I thought you would be interested in this and I care about you. I value our relationship. So I'm passing this on to you. A couple other things back with comments. So when you do need to point out something that could be improved, some ways to address it. So I tend to say, I focus things on how the reader is going to approach maybe a sentence or how they might be confused. So I'm putting myself in the reader's shoes and thinking, would they be okay with this sentence? Or would they say, I'm not quite sure what's going on here. And so if I think that it could be an issue, then I, in that comment, I say, so readers might think this, or they might be confused. I talk from the reader's perspective. So it's not just me, I think you should change this because da 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 da. It's not about me. It's about helping the writing be as good as possible to provide a good experience for the reader. So approach it from the reader's perspective and use those terms in your comments. Also, consider using we instead of you. You did this, or I suggest that you revise. And say, okay, you could state, above, we stated this. Here, it's stating this. So using that we shows that, hey, I'm your partner in this. I am here to help you, and this is what we've done above, and can we do something down here that's similar to it? So just using more of that inclusive us versus you versus me, okay? Another way you can kind of avoid the blaming you is when you're pointing out an issue, say, for example, the conclusion is missing XYZ instead of you left out this in this paragraph, okay? So don't phrase things as blaming you did this. Say, this is just what is here. And again, like I mentioned before, just focus on suggestions. How about we try this, or consider doing this, or maybe add a little bit more here. And so you're just suggesting ways to improve. And I think that comes across better as, hey, I think this is good. We can just improve it more rather than, this needs a lot of work, so you need to make big changes. And so just that kind of softer wording can help establish that relationship and remind them, the authors, that you are on their side and not trying to change things or do things that they don't want to do. Some other things to keep in mind, remember that you need to have a reason for your edits. And they shouldn't just be that, well, if I were writing this sentence, I would have stated it this way. And I know that that can be a challenge. And I still do that when I'm editing. I will stop and say, okay, Susie, is there really something wrong with this sentence? Or is it just that that's the author's style and it's not my writing style, and so I would write it differently? And so, again, go back to, would the reader stumble on this sentence? If not, and you don't have something saying, okay, Chicago 5.12 says, then don't change it. Or maybe comment on it and say, so this sentence maybe feels a little clunky to me or something, and maybe consider revising it this way. And so be a lot more hesitant in making changes if you can't explain what the issue is and have the support for making a change. Another thing to think about is don't wait until the end to bring up big issues. So if you are working on a manuscript and you see in the first chapter that there's something that you think, oh, we are really going to need to address that, don't wait until you send the whole manuscript or the first half of the manuscript back. Send them an email and say, hey, so I noticed this. Let's talk about it. And maybe it's something that they'll get started working on revising that as you're working on some other chapters. But don't wait until the very end and say, okay, I'm sending back the edited file. And by the way, there's a big issue that you need to address. And well, good luck with that. Let them know, again, collaborating with them and say, hey, let's talk this through and see what we need to do to address it. And do that early on. When you are getting ready to return the edited file, in your email message, again, let them know. I will say, hey, I really enjoyed working on this. Thank you again for the opportunity to work with you, whatever. And then if you have made a lot of edits, and especially if it's the first time that they've worked with you, especially if they're a first-time author, just kind of warn them that they're going to see a lot of track changes and remind them, explain to them that, okay, the track changes doesn't mean that this is a bad manuscript. It doesn't mean any of those negative things. It just means that these are lots of ways that we can improve. But just give them kind of a warning so that when they do open up the file and they see all the track changes, they don't have a heart attack. That goes a long ways. And it's really helpful. Also, you can explain, so in the edits I made, the main changes were regarding these three things. And so explaining that, and then when they see the edits, then they can say, oh, okay, yeah, this was the A thing she said. And, oh, here's edits for the B thing, and here are edits regarding the C issue. And so if they can kind of categorize the changes, that makes it more seem doable to accept those changes and make any revisions needed in those areas. Again and again, praise your author. Let them know that they're doing a good job. And let them know, hey, you can improve by doing these things. And so that's okay to give them areas to help them, but just let them know that they are a good person, and that they can make the changes, any changes needed, that they have worked so hard, recognize their work, and that they really have put in a lot of time and recognize that this is really important to them. And that helps them feel like, okay, yeah, I can make the edits needed. That's doable. She is on my side. He is my support. So you aren't enemies, you're the collaborating together. Just a couple things. Some ways that you can provide some encouragement or express confidence. So you can say, I can't wait to see your next draft of this chapter or this article or whatever. You can also talk about, what is their end goal? So their end goal is to have their novel published or to have their dissertation approved by the university committee or whatever it might be. So talk about those goals. I'm excited to see this published. We have just a little bit more to do on it before we're ready to send it to the publisher or before it's ready to be typeset and sent to the printer. So talk about that and help them remember, okay, this is the end goal. And the effort is worth it to get there. One other thing. So in being positive, I kind of mentioned pointing out the good things as well as the issues. So if I pointed out maybe in one paragraph that, okay, here this is maybe the organization of the paragraph is a little confusing or it could be improved. And then later I find a paragraph that was organized really well, they'll make a comment on that second paragraph and say, this was a fabulous paragraph. This is a good model template for that earlier paragraph that I noted that needs some work. And also make sure, I sometimes see editors in their comments, the way that they're phrased can be a little pedantic, almost like you're talking down to the author. And so let me give you an example. So maybe it's on an article about Joseph Smith, and their phrasing wasn't quite right. And so the editor has made the comment saying, Joseph Smith was 14 at the time of the first vision. And so I, da da da. Well, most likely, if the author wrote an article on Joseph Smith, they know that Joseph Smith was 14 at the time of the first vision. And so you don't, that will to them feel like you're talking down to them. Like they think you don't know basic information. And so instead, you could revise it to say, since Joseph Smith was 14 at the time of the first vision. So you're just saying that fact in passing, saying because of this fact, I suggest we make this change, rather than just saying the stating the fact, like, let me introduce you to this fact. So just nuances in how things are worded can make a big difference in how you would come across to the author. So really make sure that you are phrasing things nicely that will help you establish that good relationship with your author, rather than make them feel like you are trying to make their lives horrible. I would say the last thing, I kind of mentioned this before, is just know when to leave the writing alone. And that can be hard as an editor sometimes, but remember that it is their work, and respect that. And everybody has their own writing style, and just because your style is different from theirs doesn't mean that yours is better than theirs. And so if they want to say something one way, as long as it's clear and it's not going to be confusing or misleading to readers, it's okay to leave it that way. And so that really can go a long way in helping establish and maintain that relationship with your author as well. And so, I'm looking, we have a question. Okay, so one of the questions is it better to email an editor to check on the status about a manuscript they're working on? How long do you wait for a reply before you email again or eventually call? A couple weeks or a couple months? Great question. So I would say it's totally okay to check on the status of a manuscript. You don't want to check on it frequently, because then it suggests to the editor that maybe you don't trust them. And so try not to do it, I would say, on a weekly basis if it's a longer manuscript, or on a daily basis if it's a shorter manuscript. But it's okay. Every maybe 1 week and then 2 weeks later, it's okay to touch base with them. And so how long to wait before you send them another email or a call? I would say if you don't hear back from them in a couple days, then I would follow up with another email. And then if you don't hear back from them within a week, then give them a call. And that's something that the editor needs to make sure that you have established, kind of what's your response time. Do you respond in 24 hours, or do you say that you will respond in 48 hours? Do you say that you don't respond on the weekends? Kind of set those expectations for the author, and so that they know, okay, is this normal that I haven't heard from them and it's been 24 hours? Should I start to worry? Or, okay, no, they said that they don't respond on Saturday and Sunday, so I'm not going to get a response until Monday, so that's fine. So set those expectations and then follow through. If you say that you're going to respond within 48 hours, make sure you do that, because that goes a long way again in establishing that relationship, that trust from the with the author. And so, yeah, definitely I would, if I don't hear back from somebody within a week, then I would give them a call just to say, hey, I want to make sure that you got my email. And sometimes I've had that come up where somebody has emailed me a couple times and for whatever reason, Gmail decided not to let those emails into my inbox, not even to my spam folder. And so if they hadn't called me, then I never would have known. And so sometimes that call is really helpful. So if you're not hearing back from them, it's totally okay to call. And maybe it's just a quick, hey, I want to make sure you got my email. And so we can talk on the phone now, or if you just want to respond to my email, that's totally fine. So yeah, you don't need to hesitate to call, but just start with email. And then if they don't respond to the email, go ahead and give them a call. So that would be kind of my answer. And just, again, talk with your author or talk with your editor and establish those expectations. What are you both comfortable with? Kind of the amount, frequency of communicating. Okay. Do we have any other questions? All right. We are at the hour. So, and since there aren't any other questions, I think we will go ahead and close. So thanks everybody who's been on today, and thank you for being part of LDS PMA. And if you ever have any suggestions, ideas for roundtable calls or other education training, please email us, and we would be happy to provide training on specific topics that you're interested in. Okay, so until next month, we'll talk with you next month. Have a great weekend. Bye.